Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, and from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Wish to read from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 1, we'll read the portions from verse 29 to 42. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Thus far. We will now read from the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucifying our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee, and that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto Him, in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of Thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 238, the last stanza, "When the Lord shall count the nations, sons and daughters He shall see, born to endless life in Zion, and their joyful song shall be, Blessed Zion. Blessed Zion, all our fountains are in Thee." The last stanza of Psalter 238. Request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet, and that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of His church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Father and Mother Sutendal? Father and Mother Baus. Dear parents, we may read in God's word that the Lord Jesus came to John the Baptist, and he requested of him that he should be baptized. And then we can read that John the Baptist said to him, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And we can read of the same of the Apostle Peter when he would wash his feet, and that Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Thus, we can read that the John the Baptist and also then the Apostle Peter, they were very greatly taken back at the condescension of the Lord Jesus. How low that he had come, and they could not readily receive that condescension. But the Lord Jesus, he would not give in to John the Baptist, nor would he give in to his disciple Peter, even though that came out of the humility that was living in their hearts. Still, Christ, he went further, and he demanded, and he insisted. And so he said to John the Baptist, he said, "Suffer it to be so now. For thus," he said, "it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And then we can read that to Peter, then he has said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And then we can read how that those two men, they may fall under it. And how that John the Baptist, he then suffered him. And how that the Apostle Peter, then he says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." What is now the most difficult thing, if the Lord instructs a man in that true humility, what is the most difficult thing for that people to receive? That is not Christ in his exaltation, but that is Christ in his humiliation. That the Lord, he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that Christ was so willing to take that iniquity. And we can see that in his request of John the Baptist, even to be baptized. Thus, what a blessed truth to that humbled church of God. That truth of the humiliation of the Son of God. But they cannot receive it unless the Lord will open it to them, that the Lord would show it unto them, and that the Lord would give them to bow under that blessed humiliation. And that is now our hope for yourselves, that you may know of it for yourselves, but also that your children may come to know what it is to receive and to bow under that humiliation of Christ. And that with John the Baptist, that you may be given to say with him that he may suffer it to be so now, that the Lord may fulfill all righteousness for yourselves and for your children. And yet you may be given to say with Peter, Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing as Psalter 425, stanza 5. Madeline Linnell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Janine Nenny Janetta, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing on this service. We hope to remember in prayer Reverend Verhoef, who was brought to the hospital on Friday with the signs of a heart attack. Mrs. Tilly Van Sluis, who had a surgery this past Friday, and Mrs. Joanne Alleman, who must go to Calgary for testing tomorrow, also with concerns for her heart. Let us try to pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that we may be given to acknowledge Thee for Thy holy sacrament, wherein Thou dost give unto Thy church that seal and that testimony of the truth of Thy holy word, that they may be given to behold it with their eyes and to believe it in their hearts, and that we with our children, when we have a baptized forehead, may not take these blessings for granted, but that we may be given to storm Thy throne of grace, that these blessings may never testify against us. For how many have received this sacrament that are today separated from Thee, forever and forever, with that name of that triune God burning within their foreheads. O Lord, that Thou would cause us to receive understanding hearts, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our lives, and that all Thy blessings may be bound upon our hearts, that they may be for a blessing for our poor, never-dying souls. Lord, that Thou may look upon all of us together as parents, when once again we may witness that solemn oath which has been taken again in the midst of our flock, and which makes us more and more guilty. O Lord, that Thou may give unto us what is necessary, that Thou may grant us a place continually before Thee, because our lives are so bound to this earth, to this world, and Thou knowest that we have not our treasure in heaven. O Lord, wilt Thou grant the renewal thereof in the midst of Thy people, and that it may become so in the heart of each and every father and mother amongst us, but also the grandfathers and the grandmothers, even when we must put our hand in our own bosom and take it out leprous, that Thou may give us that faithfulness to speak in the midst of our families, and that opening, that they may also receive a blessed testimony while it is a day of grace. Lord, that Thou may so bless Thy word and sacrament this day, that it may receive a place in our hearts where it has no place by nature. And that thou may look upon thy children and encourage them also in the days wherein we do live. And that they may behold that thou still upholdest thy covenant. And that thou bringest into that visible church those whom thou wilt also bring into that invisible church. So that thy kingdom shall come. And that thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. O Lord, that thou may supply for each and every one that has needs and cares. And we remember in a special way thy servant in this morning hour. O Lord, thou knowest the many labors that he performs in his own flock and in the midst of our denomination. That untiringly for many years already, thou hast strengthened him to go in and out. And now in this day, thou hast set him aside, and thou hast laid him in the hospital. O Lord, that thou may visit him also in that place this day. And could it please thee to be a God nearby unto him? But wilt thou also remember him for his body, that thou may raise him up to spare him for his own family not only, but also for his flock and for us as a denomination, and that thou may grant him health and strength once again to do the labors of his hands. And that he may be given in all things to rest in thee. Wilt thou look upon her that has been in the hospital also in our midst in this past week. And thou hast made all things well to this moment for which she may acknowledge thee. Wilt thou humble her under thy goodness and give her to taste a little of the sweetness of thy presence and nearness and favor in her house in this day, when she may listen perhaps by a church telephone. Lord, remember her also that must go into the hospital in the day of tomorrow. Thou knowest all the fears that are living within her heart. O Lord, that thou would be near unto her in this very day, that she may receive something of a token of thy presence, of thy nearness, and of thy favor, and that her heart may be quieted by thee a little. And that she may receive the blessing upon the means in the week to come, whatever that they must be. And that she may be given to lay in thy hands as he who is the God of his church and also the God of all providence. Look thou upon all the afflicted and all the needy. All the widows, the widower, the orphans, those that miss all those whom they love, those that have difficulties, cares, and concerns that are known unto thee. Look thou upon us in this day. O Lord, we are gathered together. It is a great privilege, but we have no desires and no place for thee in our heart by nature. O Lord, we beseech thee then for the unction of thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may strengthen us to do this work not only, but that thou may fill us with a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may bring not that word which is from us, but that it may be a word from thee out of thy most holy word. And that it may be a word that must sink in this morning hour to pierce the hardest and the coldest heart in our midst, that it may be broken to pieces. And that thou thyself may be as the dew. And that thou may feed thy people, that the meek may eat and may be satisfied. Oh Lord, we are so undeserving of the least of all Thy notice or attention. For Thou knowest all our sin in our deeds, in our words, in our thoughts, in our motives, even in the dreams, in the night, upon our beds. Oh, forgive Thou, Lord, all that is sinful. And wilt Thou wash and cleanse us in that precious and that all-atoning blood of those signs of which may be evident in our midst even in this hour. Oh, cleanse us, Lord, and wilt Thou wash us, and wilt Thou instruct us in this morning in Thy truth. Do it, Lord, for the sake of Thy great and Thy holy name, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But Thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. And what follows in the second and third verses of 419 and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, thereof the 29th verse, John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So far in the words of our text, which is John the Baptist's witness of Christ, which we wish to consider in three thoughts. This witness contained the testimony of his purpose of coming into this world. We read that in the last part, which taketh away the sin of the world. Testimony of his purpose of coming into the world. Second, this witness contained a prophecy concerning the manner of fulfilling that purpose. What do we read? We read, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thus, a prophecy of how that he would fulfill that purpose, the Lamb of God. And last, this witness contained an exhortation to receive him for this purpose. We read, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thus, John the Baptist's witness concerning Christ. First, that witness contained a testimony of his purpose for coming into the world. Second, that witness contained a prophecy of the manner of fulfilling this purpose. And third, this witness contained an exhortation to receive him for this purpose. Congregation, last time we have heard something of that office which was ordained by God in order that he may declare unto men his salvation. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Has that ever become a wonder to us, that we are placed under the means of grace, under the offices, and may receive the word and the sacrament? Today we wish to consider something of that witness itself, because we can read that he was not that light, but he was sent in order that he may bear witness of that light. And that is now the great privilege and the great duty of every one of God's true servants that are sent from him into this world. And thus, John, he may bring a message, he may bring a testimony, he may make a witness. What may he proclaim? He may proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may proclaim that Son of God. This is the true light which lighteth every man that is come into this world. Thus, Christ, he is the special object of the preaching of God's true servants. Why? Well, we read, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Christ has said himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, thus Christ, the Son of God, the special object of the witness of the testimony of God's servants. And yet not all of that speaking of Him, that preaching of His name is according to that Holy Scriptures. And why not? Well, because there is also that which misses that speaking of that purpose for which that He has come into this world. And if we miss, congregation, the purpose, then He becomes a name. Then He becomes a Jesus of five letters. Thus, how is it for us? That name of Jesus, that name of Christ, what does it now mean to us? Is there any connection in our heart with that name between that name and that purpose for which He is declared to come into this world? Because when we miss this, then we miss the suitability. Then He is actually a fit for none. The Jews, they would come and take Christ by force. We read to make Him a king. But we read that the Lord Jesus went away from them. He walked away from them. And why? Because they have completely missed His purpose for which that He has come into this world. And that was not just to deliver that people from the Romans. But John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, he is declaring already from the very beginning, not only that name of Christ, no, but also that purpose for which He is come. And what is that purpose? He says, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thus, congregation, it is a remedy. It is a proclamation of the remedy. The remedy for what? The remedy for sin, which taketh away sin. Oh, how much is there not about sin that needs to be taken away? Do you think so too? Do you think so too, children? What is there, can you think of, can you tell me about sin that needs to be taken away? Well, maybe you will say, I wish that the punishment of sin would be taken away. Oh, I wish that the curse that is due to sin would be taken away. And now, do you know what John the Baptist said? He said, which taketh away sin. It's the sin of the world. That is everything that has to do with sin. And yes, that has to do also with the punishment of sin. That has to do with the curse that is due to sin. Thus, He is taking away that judgment. Thus, He is come to deliver man from that wrath to come. He is come to deliver him from that eternal pit, yes. From that everlasting darkness. He is come to be a light unto them. Oh, think of that rich man. Do we think of him very often, congregation, because he lived sumptuously every day? And who of us cannot say that we live also sumptuously every day in the midst of this world, but he lives no more sumptuously today? And thus he has come to deliver from that eternal pit, to deliver a man from hell itself, and to bring him unto what? Unto that eternal bliss. into that place where God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes of a man, and where there will be no sorrow nor crying, and where there will be no more any pain. O congregation, do we desire this? Do we long for this? I do not need to ask you, because that is living now in the heart of every single person in this whole world. And that he desires to be delivered from that judgment because of sin. And thus that is actually no mark of that grace of God. When we so desire, because that is living in a man in a natural way. Or maybe you say, may the Lord, or if he could deliver me from the burden that is living on my conscience. My conscience. And yes, indeed, because the Apostle Paul, he says, he speaks about having no more conscience of sins. What do you think, young people? Does your conscience bother you? Is that a sore unto you? Is that which does not allow you to live out the desires of your heart in this world with great ease? Your conscience. You say, if I could only quiet that speaking conscience, because it is a thorn unto me when I wish to look at the movies of this world, and when I look to serve this world, that it is always my conscience, and oh, if I could be delivered from that conscience. David, he says, we sang it together, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Are you old? And do you remember the sins of long ago? Because our conscience, that has a very good memory. And that is not easily letting go. No, in that day of judgment, everything is going to come back unto us once again. Or what is that? That a man may be delivered from all the speakings of that are living in his conscience, but congregation that is also now not belonging only to that true work of grace. No, because every man in this world would like to take that conscience and silence it forever. But is there not something more? Because David, he says, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee. And congregation, this is not what lies in our heart by nature, that I might not sin against thee. That is that desire to be delivered from sin itself. We read of Jabez. He says that thou wouldest keep me from the evil. Keep me from the evil. Do we ask for that when we arise in the morning? O Lord, keep me from the evil. Keep me from the evil that it might not grieve me. And why did that evil grieve Jabez? Oh, did that sin, congregation, ever become to us the grief of our heart? Because that is the fruit of love. When we love one another, then we are grieved in our own heart. When we sin against one another, and even when we say that sin did not harm him, it did not harm her, but it is living within myself. And then it is against that love that is living within myself. Oh, love. Love does not seek her own. Love is seeking that the blessed relation, and it seeks that relation would always be good. Do you so desire to be delivered from sin itself? We can read about Asaph. He says, whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Is that in your heart too? You say, well, sometimes I think, I hope, I feel something of that love. But, well, then I feel another love. I feel every day that my heart that goes after all the things also of this world, can it be that I even do love the Lord as Asaph loved the Lord? Then he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It is not a pure love in my heart. Oh, but read that Psalm 73 and see also what was in that heart of Asaph, because he says also, my feet were almost gone. My steps, they had well nigh slipped. Why? Because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked that was living also in that heart of Asaph. And then he went where? He went into that house of God, the sanctuary of God, that we heard of last week under the offices given by the Lord for that purpose. And then when he is under those offices, then he saw their end. And when he may see their end, then that love that is rising up in his heart again unto the Lord. And thus that love that is burdened under its sin against the Lord, because he says, I was as a beast before thee. And now John the Baptist, he says, which taketh away sin. Oh, that takes away the guilt of sin, that people may receive a right to that salvation. He is taking away also the pollution, the corruption of that sin, that he may give unto the people the very beginning of that salvation, because we cannot come into that blessed communion with the Lord with sin. Because God cannot have communion with sin. No, we read it in the Word of God. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And now what does John say? He says, which taketh away sin. O congregation, what is now living in our hearts? Was there ever a desire in your heart to be rid of sin? Oh, it has been in these days so white outside. Went outside yesterday, looking out that window, I thought I must go out there. I need to take a few pictures. Oh, it was so beautiful. It was so white that you say, is there a whiteness that is greater than this whiteness? Is there a purity that is greater than this purity? And then I thought what it says, Isaiah, he has prophesied. And he has prophesied of that purpose. He has prophesied of that blood. And then he has said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Oh, can you imagine? And that our sins, they would become as white as that snow. Oh, Christ, what did he say to that bride? He says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, not a single spot. Who can fathom that? Which taketh away sin. That is to take away all sin. That is to take away the sin of this day, of yesterday, of all my days, and also through all my days. That is to take away the judgment, the punishment for sin. That is to take away the consequences for sin. But that is also to take away sin itself. And that is to rid a man of it. No, and not completely in this life. Then he becomes in himself a greater sinner. And yet he is doing less sin in that way of sanctification in this world congregation, but there is coming a time where that people shall be so delivered. And then we can read, or we have seen it when we rose this morning, then those trees, they were in the light as glass. And then it says that the streets of that city, they shall be as clear glass. Oh, what shall that be? When that people shall enter into that place, wherein there shall nothing enter in that shall ever defile. Oh, congregation, that is now the purpose. That is the purpose of the Father from eternity. He has not decreed only the fall. He has not decreed only that sin should come into this world. But he has also decreed the taking away of sin. And now we are participants in the first. We are participants in that fall, each and every one of us. But are we also now participants in the second? That sin that may be taken away from us also. And how? Well, John the Baptist speaks about it. We see that also here in our second thought, because he witnesses. And in that witness, then he makes a prophecy about the manner of fulfilling that purpose. Behold, he says, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John, congregation, did not speak a strange language to that people of Israel. No, because every day the sacrifices were being brought in that house of the Lord. And for so many years already, that blood that has flowed in Israel, in that type that has been longed for by that true people of the Lord in Israel. And yet now there were so many that were only looking for that Messiah to come in his kingship, that he may deliver them from that Roman occupation in the midst of this world. And thus, what was their religion? You say they brought also the sacrifices. That is true. Each family, they are bringing their sacrifices. They are bringing their lambs. They are bringing their bullocks. They are bringing their pigeons. And they are, congregation, a blessed sign, a blessed testimony. And yet, what was it to that people? Well, it was to that people a self-sacrifice. They are giving of their goods. They are giving of their bounty. And thus all the religion that has become a self-sacrifice, wherein they may give of their bounty again unto the Lord, and we may be so well pleased with whom? With our self-sacrifices, we may be so well pleased then with ourselves. But now John the Baptist, he begins by declaring the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist begins by declaring the anti-type of that Paschal Lamb. John the Baptist begins by making a prophecy. John was the prophet, boys and girls. He was the prophet of the Lord, we sing. And he has gone before the Lord Jesus to make known his ways. But he has prophesied here already concerning what? Then he has prophesied concerning the great humiliation, the depth to which the Son of Man would descend. in order that he may take away that sin of the world. Behold, he says, the Lamb of God. For how many years were those lambs not separated? Because then the head of that household had to take that lamb and he had to separate it from those other lambs. And he had to choose a lamb which was right. He had to choose that lamb that was without blemish. He had to set him apart. And now John, he says, behold the Lamb of God. He says, behold that Lamb that God himself has set apart. He says, it is a Lamb which is indeed without blemish. It is a Lamb that is separate from all the other men that are in this world. Oh, that is the Lamb that I have chosen. That is the Lamb that I have sent out from mine own bosom. Why? That he may do that great work of redemption. And that he may take away that sin of the world. Oh, that he may lift it up, the word speaks of. That he may lift it up and that he may bear it away. When the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We read of Samson, that he has taken those gates of Gaza and he has carried them upon his shoulders. And he has borne them away. Oh, so John the Baptist speaks here. That Lamb of God shall do. Then he will take that weight. And by which his burdened people are going over this world. And he shall lift it off of their shoulders. And he shall carry that load away. And he shall completely deliver them from it. And he shall abolish it. And he shall destroy it forever. And he shall throw it into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Oh, that Lamb of God. Congregation, when those paschal lambs were slain, then they had not only to be slain, but then those paschal lambs also had to be eaten. And now to eat children, you know how difficult that is when you say, I am now hungry, I have no hunger. Maybe you are sick, and when you are sick, then you cannot eat. Because then there is no place for that food. You say, then I only vomit that food out again. Then it can be no profit unto us. And thus that paschal lamb, Christ, he has said to that people, except ye eat. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And except you drink his blood, then you have no life in you. And thus it is also now with this Lamb of God. Then it is necessary that there be an appetite, that there be a place for that Lamb of God. Wherein is that place made, that is made in that purpose that John has declared of him, wherein he has said that he taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, for so many in Israel, there was no place for him. Place for him, yes, as their earthly king, but not even as their heavenly king. But certainly no place for that priestly office of Christ. Certainly no place for him as this Lamb of God. Therefore, we can read that they have rejected him in his suffering and in his death. And why? What was enough for that people? Well, their offerings were enough. Their sacrifices, they were enough. what we bring unto the Lord. And the Lord, He should receive what we bring unto Him out of the goodness of our hearts. But now there were others in Israel that have experienced something, and that is what? That is that the blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin. That all those sacrifices, though they are multiplied one after the other, and though they are brought in all the goodness of our heart, supposedly, all those sacrifices cannot quiet my conscience. It cannot take away the curse. It cannot deliver me from the punishment. It cannot wash me. It cannot cleanse me. They have felt it. They have felt the shortness of all the religion. Have you ever felt it in your life? Oh, good thing to come to the house of God over and over again under those offices. We hope you never miss, even once when it is possible. But congregation, has it all become unto you insufficient? Because what was that to that people when John the Baptist began to open his mouth? And he began to preach, and he began to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Let us sing. The song of Zacharias, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. John was the prophet of the Lord, to go before his face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare his ways. 3, 4, and 5 of the song of Zacharias. Our last thought, this witness, contained an exhortation to receive him for this purpose. What do we read? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold. Look. See. Behold, O congregation for Israel. They may see him with their natural eyes. Were you ever jealous of that people that you say, if I could only see him, if he were only here upon the earth, oh, then I would believe him, then I would bow down to him, then I would go to him. But we need not be jealous, congregation. Because that seeing with their natural eyes is testifying against so many persons of that day, in this day. And it is not the seeing of the natural eye which does bring a man to receive him by the eye of faith. But that exhortation of John the Baptist that is going forth unto that visible church and also unto us, unto the end of the world. That is the great privilege that we may have to be under those ordinances, to be under those offices. Behold, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, how many of God's people, they do say when they hear that, oh Lord, if I may only see him, if I may only behold him, if thou wouldst only show thyself through the lattice as thou standest behind my wall, oh Lord, reveal thyself also unto me, for the first time, by renewal. Congregation, it is a declaration that is coming to everyone that is under the word. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It has come to us also. For how many years have you heard that exhortation to behold that Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever beheld him in a spiritual way? Have you ever received an eye of faith that you may see him? No. Why not? Why not? All you say may be, well, some say he is not lifted up enough. That name that is not declared enough. That name that is not repeated enough. Then he has not spoken of enough. Because then we must hear also of God's people. And we must hear of the way that it goes, O congregation. We will be the first to say that we are so insufficient in the preaching of that name. Oh, soon if all is well, it is harder for us to believe it. But if the Lord will spare us in May, then it will be 20 years ago that we have begun to bring the Word of God in the congregations. 20 years ago, it is unbelievable. And then you think back and you say, what was it? Then you see, congregation, all your shortcomings. And then especially in speaking of that name, of that Lamb of God. But congregation, we will ask you also something else. Because with how many words did John the Baptist preach? He did not preach with one word, but he preached with two words. And those two words were sin and grace. And what is now living in our heart by nature? Well, we want to hear about grace, don't we? But we do not want to hear about sin. But you understand, congregation, that these two things, they go together. And they cannot be separated, the one from the other. Because John the Baptist declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God, not only, but also which taketh away the sin of the world." Because without that second part, then there is no place for him. And there is also no suitability to be seen in him. Oh, how can a man behold that Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, how can he behold him if he has never beheld his sin? And if he has never desired that his sin would be taken away? You know, before the seeding goes the plowing, no? I know today it is different. They say, I've never seen it. But they speak about the seed drills. You don't need to plow. That is the modern way. But there is no modern way with the word of the Lord. No, first there must come congregation place for this Lamb of God. Thus there were many in Israel that despised the preaching of John the Baptist. Why? Because they would have an earthly king. But what did that people not want? They did not want to have a suffering Savior. But there was now another people we read of, a people that has gone out to John the Baptist. And we read they were baptized with the baptism of repentance, confessing their sins. And now it was to this people a great wonder when John the Baptist began to lift up his voice and to lift up his hand and to point him out and to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, look and see." And it continues. We have seen it in this morning. Behold, look, see. The Lord, he gives the signs for the weakness of the flesh, that a man may behold, that a man may look, that a man may see. And then it is not only to see the signs, boys and girls, but what have we seen in this morning hour? Oh, may we see beyond the sign. And may we see, may we behold something of that Lamb of God, congregation, who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, there is a people that feels so unworthy because of sin, because of wretchedness, because of unholiness. Think of John the Baptist. Think of Peter. But it is now just this people that often do not realize and that do not see that just that which they think is standing in their way is actually their qualification. Because congregation, what is it? But a sense, a feeling sense of my wretchedness and a feeling sense of my sin, and a feeling sense of my unworthiness that makes me a fit object for that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is it now not just for such ones? And for that very purpose that he has so humbled himself, that he may suffer and that he may die, as that Lamb of God, in order to take away the sin of the world. What desire did the Pharisees have for the Lord Jesus by the preaching of John the Baptist? Oh, they had no desire. They despised it. Why? They had sufficient of their own righteousness. They had sufficient of their own religion. They had no feeling sense of their misery and of their wretchedness. And how now can a man in such a way behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, when we are lifted up in our pride and in ourselves, our presumption, our hypocrisy? But let a man now be sunken. Let a man now be sunken in despondency because of his vanity, because of his carnality, because of the corruption of his heart. Let a man be despairing of bringing forth one good work and one good thought and having one good motive in his heart. And how the Spirit in his own time will give him to behold that Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. O congregation, how precious is he to a wretched and an undone sinner. Why? For that blessed condescension. Oh, for that condescension to be a suffering and a crucified mediator, to be the Lamb of God. And that is now how John has lifted him up. For the great delight of whom? Of publicans and sinners. That they may behold him. That they may behold him. As what? As that sacrifice. That they may behold him as that Lamb of God. For what purpose? That he may take away the sin of the world. Oh, how a man receives such a sweet interest in him then. With all of his guilt, with all of the corruption that is living in his heart, with that damnation that is due unto him, with that curse, with that punishment. Oh, and that people, they may behold that Lamb of God. Then in one moment they may say with that bride, they may say, I am black, but comely. David said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea. He says, I have a goodly heritage. Oh, how they may esteem him then. And when they may look upon him even for a moment, and when he reveals and when he shows himself in all their guilt and in all their corruption, so that they may say he is white and ruddy, he is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. O congregation, so the poor have hope. Why? Because then the poor, they may have the gospel preached unto them. And then that Lamb of God, he may receive all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, may that be the experience of each and every one of us, that thou may receive all the honor as that blessed Lamb of God and that was sent from the bosom of the Father to take away the sin of the world. Oh, then there is none to be excluded. If we may but acknowledge our transgressions, oh, that thou would show them unto us, that we may be brought also into thy church, and that we may be included in that blessed number. Oh, wilt thou bless thy word and sacrament this day, forgiving all of our many sins. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places and with desire in thy house, again in this afternoon hour. Be on the right and on the left of thy servant in this afternoon, and that he may receive what is necessary to bring thy word, the unction of thy spirit in a rich measure, that our souls all together may be edified and may be instructed, and that thou thyself may be honored and glorified, and that we may be abased and we may be humbled. Lord, that thou may supply for each and every one, forgiving all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 446, the fourth stanza. Hope in the Lord, O nation, for with him there is grace and plenteous salvation for all who seek his face. Let us sing stanzas 2 and 4. 2 and 4 of Psalter 446. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.